Italian Futurism, 1909-1944, Reconstructing the Universe, the current exhibition at the Guggenheim Museum, is the first comprehensive overview of one of Europe's most important 20th century avant-garde movements to be shown in any American museum. This multidisciplinary show includes more than 360 works by 80 artists, many of which have never been seen outside of Italy until now. It'll be on view at the Guggenheim for just two more weeks until September 1st. Some of the pieces will be leaving even earlier. I'm very pleased to welcome to our show now Dr. Vivian Green, the show's curator and editor of the accompanying catalog. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
How did Futurism get started? Was there a particular artist or a group of artists who originated the concept?
Well, actually, it was started by a writer, a man named F.T. Marinetti, who wrote a manifesto called The Founding of the Futurist Manifesto and published it in Le Figaro in 1909, and that launched the movement.
He wasn't married. As you said, he was a poet, but so did Futurism begin as a kind of a literary movement and then spread to the visual arts?
It began as a call to arms for a changing life in every aspect. So it wasn't just about art, but about how you eat, about politics. It was the first really programmatic avant-garde.
And he wrote things in his manifesto like, "We want to glorify war, the only cure for the world, militarism, patriotism, the destructive gesture of the anarchists, the beautiful ideas which kill." Also praised machines, technology, speed, and danger. Was this a movement mainly of young men? Because it sounds very testosterone-driven.
Yes. It begins as a movement of men, but it soon spreads, and there are quite a few women participants, particularly by the 1930s. And something I like to remind people is that that manifesto was written in 1909, and it was written really to provoke. Now, that's not to say that Marinetti did not glorify war, just like all little boys play with soldiers. I mean, it really, I think, stems from something that strong and primal, but it's many manifesti were written after that one, so it doesn't necessarily remain the roadmap for the next 35 years.
As a museum curator, were you provoked by another part of the manifesto? He said, "We want to demolish museums and libraries, fight morality, feminism, and all the opportunists and utilitarian cowardice."
Well, I think that's a great challenge. Italy, unfortunately, only had the past with which to identify itself at this time, at this juncture in history. Recently unified country in 1860, they still didn't have a modern identity. So that's what he's really attacking there and calling for Italy to become modern, the emphasis on speed and the machine and technology being part of that.
And he wrote in his manifesto of his contempt for women and femininity, although, as you point out, some of the artists were women, including Marinetti's wife, Benedetta Coppa.
Exactly. So they're in fact, one of the exhibition's leitmotifs, besides the idea of the total work of art and reconstructing the universe, is the idea of paradox, because there's quite a bit of contradiction, and we point that out as you go through the show.
Marinetti said, "Why can't women just be into cars like we are?" How did Coppa respond to some of those things?
Well, she meets Marinetti already after World War I, so there's already been that first shift towards the right by the futurists, generally speaking. She's working in Giacomo Balla's studio. And actually, Benedetta was a pretty committed fascist. So later on, by the 30s, certainly. And she felt that she could be a futurist and still, she didn't talk about feminism, but she certainly felt that women could write, could paint, and have all these freedoms. So again, you know, what you say and what you do don't always sync up with Marinetti in particular.
There's a grouping of Coppa's murals in the show that celebrate telecommunications. Are these paintings being shown outside of Italy for the first time?
Not only outside of Italy, but outside of their permanent location in the conference room of the post office in Palermo. And they were one of the few commissions a futurist get for a fascist building.
And they're being sent back earlier on August 20th, which is, if people want to see this complete show, they're going to have to go to the Guggenheim almost immediately.
Yeah, indeed. Hurry, hurry. That and also a wonderful Balla presentation of his Feu d'artifice for Stravinsky will be closing. Yes, some of our spaces have to close early. The show is quite large, so.
Most people only know Balla for the painting he did of a dog with its feet moving. Now, were they, was this happening around the time that Picasso and Braque were producing their first Cubist paintings?
Yes, the movement is born around the same time. And in fact, an important step for the Futurists was going to Paris in 1911, at the end of 1911, to visit someone there and seeing Cubism firsthand, which really gave them the tools to formally and stylistically paint in an avant-garde manner. Because when Marinetti founds a movement in 1909, it's not as though you suddenly add water and have Futurist painting, Futurist literature. These things all had to be invented or developed from what was already existing.
So were they in contact with the Cubists?
There were some exchanges. There was quite a bit of competition as well, and the Italians are often cast as the poor cousins of the French, which is one of the reasons why Futurism is dismissed or not included in our historical surveys always, even the early years before any fascist association.
That is a problem because you have to look at the art. Forget about the politics and all the other things. And there's some pretty incredible art here. But some of the justifications sound like they could have come from anywhere. Boccioni wrote, "While the Impressionists make a table to give one particular moment and subordinate the life of the table to its resemblance to this moment, we synthesize every moment, time, place, form, color, tone, and thus build the table." That's something that the Cubists could have said as well, although I hope they would have said it with a little more clarity.
Well, I mean, Boccioni is, translations are also a complex thing. The Futurists differ from the Cubists in a few important elements, which he does allude to there. The idea of dynamism is very important and movement. They also always have a three-dimensional aspect to their work. The Cubists emphasize the two-dimensional aspect.
Although they're showing all sides of the same object.
But flat. And the Futurists use color, and the Cubists step away from that.
In this country, we're most familiar with the Futurist works of Boccioni, Umberto Boccioni, and Gino Severini, and Boccioni's famous sculpture, Unique Forms of Continuity in Space, because both the Museum of Modern Art and the Metropolitan Museum of Art have bronze casts of it. But weren't those casts done after his death?
Exactly, and that is something that we emphasize at the very beginning of the exhibition with a kind of evocation of Boccioni's studio with a large photograph of the works in a studio, which were all done in plaster. And he felt plaster was the material that could best represent motion and movement, which was very important to him, the play of light on plaster being very different from the reflective quality of bronze.
So would he have objected to casting it in bronze?
Hard to guess. But since all his plasters were destroyed in a flood situation after his death, and only three were salvaged to make these bronzes, it was also a question of trying to save some of the work.
He died in 1916 during his World War I training for the cavalry. Was a lot of the most important work done before the war?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I think there are a lot of scholars who feel that pre-World War I Futurism is what really constitutes the core of the movement and that it's a diluted movement after that. I feel there are a lot of interesting and really talented artists who come on after World War I.
What was the response of the Italians who would look at art at the time? Did they think this was a good thing?
The reaction of the general public was one of sort of shock. The same here with the Armory Show, you think in 13. I mean, very, very similar kind of responses to modern art. Just
Italian Futurism, 1909-1944, Reconstructing the Universe, is currently at the Guggenheim. I'm talking with Dr. Vivian Green, who is its curator and also wrote the accompanying catalog. It must have been very difficult to put together the show, partly because you were getting things for the first time outside of their normal space. How did you convince these people to give it to the Guggenheim?
It was not difficult. The exhibition took 5 years to organize, and I had an advisory committee that certainly introduced me to a lot of collectors. A lot of the heirs of the artists are lenders. And it really just took visiting people and presenting the exhibition to them, and everyone was on board because there's never been a presentation on Italian Futurism in the United States of this scope. And my problem was saying no. People wanted to give me more than what we could accommodate in the museum.
You said earlier that one of the reasons that futurism has not been embraced as much is because it supported fascism. Did all the artists who were futurists become fascists, or did some separate themselves from the group?
I learned that I had to really take that on a case-by-case basis. Of course, everyone publicly was on board with fascism. Things didn't go very well for you if you weren't. But there were artists, for example, like Ivo Panaggi, who was certainly very left-wing. He was a communist, and he maintained those ideals, but kept, and actually eventually left Italy. Someone like Prampolini also lived in Paris till 37, till he had to come back. And so we present both sides of the coin when we look at the 30s.
But this is probably the only major art movement that was on the right rather than the left, avant-garde art movement, especially since, Hitler was hostile to avant-garde art. In fact, in Germany, some of the modern artists who joined the Nazi Party, like Emil Nolde, were labeled degenerate by Hitler.
Yeah, Nolde's a confusing one. The situation in Italy and in Germany is very different. Mussolini does not declare anything degenerate, nor does he declare any art the national art. So there's actually a bit of a jockeying for a position between the futurists and the artists who were part of the classicizing return to order Novecento movement, like Mario Sironi or the architect Terragni. Mussolini preferred those artists. So interestingly, the futurists are not the artists the regime chose to represent them, and they had to work to get in exhibitions and get commissions and so forth.
Even though they were supporters of the fascist movement.
Even though they were. And Marinetti's relationship to Mussolini is complicated. So I think he realized it was important, of course, to be nationalism in the end made everyone a supporter in some way. But
so is Marinetti the center of the movement no matter what is going on?
It's incredible.
Similar to surrealism, where the center was also a poet?
Yes, with Breton, absolutely. He remains the fulcrum for everything. And we chose his death as the moment to end the exhibition. It seemed most appropriate. And the end of the war, of course, for Italy comes right after.
It's interesting that futurism not only included poetry and painting and sculpture, but also music, theater, architecture, fashion, advertising, the design of furniture, toys, dinnerware, clothing, all embraced by Marinetti and the artists in the movement?
Absolutely. Again, that's something that really distinguishes them. They're the first avant-garde to embrace every single artistic medium and beyond, cooking being one example.
There were performances. That was a major activity of the futurists. Of course, the Dadaists were doing something similar at the
later.
Really?
Yeah,
Dada
is first? At the end of the teens. The futurists do their first serate right after the founding of the movement, and the serate are their very disruptive performative evenings.
I seem to remember that Marinetti went to Zurich during the time that the Dadaist movement was going and did performances there, and he had praised anarchism. So was that something that appealed to him as well?
He was a great supporter of anarchism and the disruption and the destruction that comes with anarchism. They saw the same with war, the idea that sort of the phoenix, by destroying everything, there would be this great regenerative phenomenon.
The show, as you said, ends in 1944 when Marinetti dies. What about the artists who lived past 1944? Did they move on to other styles?
Some did. Again, the man I mentioned, Enrico Prampolini, becomes a proponent of art concrete. Création. And then some artists, of course, go off to South America and go into self-imposed exile. It varies based on who you look at. Bala continues to paint into the 50s.
The subtitle of the show is Reconstructing the Universe. Does this show change our views about what the futurist movement was about?
Yes, I think for Americans it certainly does, for people outside of Italy, because if anyone knew about the movement, they only knew about the teens. And this, I think, really expanded people's vision. And for many people, it was a first introduction. So that was very important to us.
Since some of the things are already being returned to their owners, does that mean this show is not going to travel?
No, we had it at the museum 6 months, which is longer than an usual exhibition, given all the work and expense that went into the project. And we've been delighted because our attendance has held throughout this time period. But because of rules for works on paper and people wanting their artworks back, yes, it will go home.
Will any of the artists who are here who are probably lesser known, do you think, enjoy more recognition as a result of this show?
Absolutely. I can already see that from just the interest we've gotten in the press in New York, for example, around the artist Fortunato De Pero. I think that auction prices are going to change.
What distinguishes his work from the other futurists?
De Pero had a lot of humor in his work. He is one who did a lot of advertising, the Campari campaign, a lot of really interesting design, did the toys. He and Bala wrote the manifesto that gave us our subtitle, The Futurist Reconstruction of the Universe. Interestingly, he's also someone who was fascist throughout. But you see it in some work that's propagandistic, but not in a lot of the other work.
Yeah, a lot of the art most of the art has no politics in it, even though these artists were very politically committed.
It does and it doesn't, because in truth, even in the 30s, we have a wonderful series of aerial painting works, planes flying over various Roman ruins. And, of course, Mussolini wanted the fascist regime to be the new Roman Empire. So when you see a plane and a Roman site, there is some subtle propaganda.
Dr. Vivian Green is the curator and editor of the accompanying catalog for Italian Futurism, 1909-1944, Reconstructing the Universe. Rush to the Guggenheim to see the complete show. Otherwise, you can see an incomplete version until September 1st. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you. It was a privilege.